thought for today. I practice the art of listening to what I want to hear. I practice the art of listening to what I want to hear. I practice the art of listening to what I want to hear. As we counsel with people and work with people on the telephone as a practitioner, and as we meet people in person, we listen to what they say. We listen and we respond to what they say. And someone says to us, "I'm sick. I have a problem. Things are not going well in my life." And then they say, "My daughter just graduated from high school, and I'm so proud of her." Instantly we say, "How wonderful your daughter graduated from high school and you're so proud of her. This is a wonderful thing." "Yeah, but I'm sick and I'm unhappy." "Your daughter must give you so much pleasure and so much joy realizing that she has accomplished this goal." "Yes, but I'm sick." When you think about your daughter, you think about your daughter being a healthy, dynamic, forceful person. And you think about yourself being a healthy, dynamic, forceful person. "But don't you understand? I have these problems." Every time you think of yourself as a healthy, dynamic, forceful person, you bring that about in your life. For what you think about, that's what you experience. "But I have these problems." I like hearing you talk about your daughter and her success. I like hearing you talk about the wonderful things that are happening in your life. "But I have these problems." Have you started to count your blessings? Have you started to count your blessings and write them in your blessing book? Every morning when you get up, you write, "It's another glorious day, and I am here to watch my daughter grow up. I am here to watch my husband as he goes off to work with a smile on his face because I tell him how wonderful he is and how wonderful the world is." Have you written in your blessing book all of the joyous things about yourself? "But I don't feel joyous. I don't feel wonderful." Isn't it great you have so much to feel wonderful about? You have the opportunity of feeling wonderful about the fact that you're able to be there and enjoy your daughter and enjoy your husband. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your world. Enjoy your house. "But this is such a ramshackle house." A house filled with love is a house that is a house of joy, a house of peace, a house of harmony. "But the windows need washing." And just like the eyes, your eyes are such clear, crystal beings. Wherever you look, you see the purity of your life. And sometimes you have to get out and do a few things yourself. Sometimes you have to say happy things about yourself when you might not be experiencing happy things. And as you speak your word, happy things begin to multiply in your life. But. You see, a practitioner listens to only what he wants to hear. And that's the art of being a human being, of being a divine being. We have been so often in our life trained to think that we have to listen to the problems of the world. That when there is a problem with the ecology of the country, of the world, we must get in there and separate the glass bottles from the plastic bottles. We have been so trained by some groups or organizations to think limitation that we create limitation for ourselves. We live in a world of absolute abundance. You say, "Well, it's not sensible to not save things and to use recycled paper and do all these things." It's not sensible to use recycled paper. It's not sensible to use something that's been used before. It's not sensible to do this, because all that talks about is limitation. "Well, Herb, you're going against the entire ecology, the entire Greenpeace, the entire program of the world trying to reserve and preserve the resources that we have." I practice the art of listening to what I want to hear. And what I want to hear is that I live in a world of abundance. A world in absolute abundance. A world that has more than enough. There are sand pieces, little sticks of sand, whatever you want to call them, little grains of sand on the beach and in the desert, beyond whatever any capacity will ever be to use it. And our whole new life structure is based around the sand, silicon, used for chips in our computers and so forth. And what are these things doing? These things are coming up with new ideas, new creation, new realizations of the wholeness and the absolute quality of man. When we think limitation, we will experience limitation. Are the Greenpeace people happy people? No, because they're fighting a cause. Are the computer people happy people? Yes, because they are exciting a cause. They are so excited about the new possibilities in their field of imagination and dreaming. And as they do this, they're wonderful. We saw a video last night about this young boy. You look at him, he doesn't look any different from any of the other boys in his group. And yet within him was an absolute genius. And within him was a magic waiting to be revealed. And he wrote this magic. He couldn't stop writing this magic. That was his dream, his goal, his expression. And he wrote, and he wrote, and he wrote. And his mother was alone, supporting he and his brother. And he wrote. And his mother was not a wealthy woman, but they had enough. They lived comfortably. And he wrote. And he wrote, and he wrote. He had his little books, and he was writing in them. And because he had a dream, because his dream was to write, he was attracted to a circumstance that was beneficial to him. You say, well, such a circumstance would never happen in an ordinary person's life. That's true. That's true. Such a person never happens in an ordinary life. But today, there are people who are very unusual. And their name begins with M. And they're not masters. They might be masters. But they're called mentors. They're people who are available to young people and older people anywhere to guide them on their dream. And these mentors are available when anyone shows any signs of genius or not. They work with young boys who have no father, and they are the father image for them or the mother image. They work with people who want to dream and want to do something great. And they seem to attract themselves to that mentor that has that capacity to draw out of them their genius. Sean Connery played that role last night, and he played it very well. The reluctant mentor. And as he played that role, our hearts went out to him. Not because of anything that he did, but because of what he was. And he didn't know what he was. He was a genius, of course. But he had so much sorrow and so much unhappiness in his life that completely caused him to not go on with his genius. But he couldn't not go on with his genius. He was wealthy enough to surround himself with books and with ideas. And he continued to write, but he didn't offer it to the world. And you see, when you have a genius, your genius wants to express. And if you tell yourself, I can't, or I won't, or the doorways are not open for me, then the doorways are not open for you. But if you just practice your genius, express it however you can, you'll find the doors will open for you. Just as none of you are here by accident, and none of you are listening to this talk this morning by accident. Everything happens by a cause that you or I put in motion. We watched that movie last night, not by accident. You went into the video store and you paged through the different videos and you bought, and at first we put a video on that was not our thing. The video was gross. It was filled with expletives, with the type of garbage language that might appear in the lowest of the low circumstances, and some even laughed at it. But you see, when we hear things like that, and we allow ourselves to allow it to happen, then what we are doing is we are listening to what we want to hear. And the world can only presume that that's what's important to us. I spent 10, 15 years in a monastery. And in that monastery, I was surrounded by men who were gross, men who had no direction in life, men who had unhappiness. They became monks, not always by choice, but they became monks in this monastery. And they just continued what they did on the outer experience that they had before they entered the monastery. And I had the privilege of talking to hundreds of them, maybe even thousands, but hundreds I know of. And everyone that I talked to, they wanted to be my son. They wanted me to be their dad. And I wasn't that much older than they. Because I practice listening to what I want to hear. And they would come in my presence, and they would be speaking their native garbage. And the moment they walked into my presence, they said, "Oops, excuse me." And they stopped speaking the garbage. I did not say a word. I did not judge them. I did not say, "This is not what I want to hear." I just did not hear it. And they stopped speaking it. And of these people that I spoke to, those who the most readily practiced the art of listening to what they wanted to hear, they asked me advice and suggestions. And I didn't give them advice and suggestions. I'm not going to waste my time giving advice and suggestions to other people. I'm not going to waste my time speaking to people who don't know what they want to do. That's the most foolish thing we could ever do. So what did I do? I asked them, "What do you want to do with your life?" I was not the person who was inside of them telling them what to do. I said, "What do you want to do?" And they came up with some of the most glorious ideas you could ever imagine. And they showered me with these ideas, telling me moment after moment of their glorious dreams. They could not wait to come back and talk to me. They could not wait to take me by the arm and say, "Let's walk and talk." And we walked miles and miles and miles and miles. And you know a few of them. They're working on themselves. And most of them you'll never know. You'll read about them. You'll hear about them. But you won't know that one day they were just confused people who didn't know what they wanted in life, until I was privileged to be their mentor and ask them questions and guide them along their path. Not telling them what to do, but guiding them on what they wanted to do. You see, I practice the art of listening to what I want to hear. And what I want to hear from anybody in the world is what your dream is. And your dream may not be so exciting for anyone else, but for you, your dream is the most exciting thing in the world. And I want to know what your dream is. And I don't care if today you tell me you want to be an astronaut, and tomorrow you tell me you want to be a postman, and the next day you say you want to be a gardener. It makes no difference. But dream your dream. Because each dream you dream will have a purpose in how you live your life and what you do. Can you imagine you get a job as a postmaster on the moon taking care of the gardens up there? Why not? You want to be an astronaut? You want to travel to the moon? You want to be a postman? So you're delivering the mail to all the people on the moon. And you want to be a gardener? So you set up this beautiful cultural program under this dome at the moon to raise vegetables and things up there, flowers and plants and other lovely things. Strange? Impossible? Not at all. There are people who dream dreams, and these are the people who are totally unsuccessful. There are people who not only dream their dream, but they put feet under their dream by believing in them, not just calling them dreams, something that's impossible to happen. I want a yacht. Sure, you want a yacht. You don't want a yacht any more than the man in the moon, unless you are untouched by it. What did we hear in the movie last night? The mentor said to the young man, "You have all of the flaws in you of a human being. You are a worthless, good-for-nothing person. You cannot accomplish anything. You cannot do this." And he said to the man, "You're black." He says, "And you're young. And young blacks never achieve anything." Now, that's a racist comment. But he said this to this young man, not because he believed he was black or that he believed he was young, but because if he could learn to be untouched by comments that were made to him about such unimportant things as his race and his age, then he could go forth in his writing and he could have people critique his writing and not have a thin skin that would make him quit writing. Isn't that true? People say things about our dream. "Well, I won't go on that dream. I just won't do that. I won't get a yacht. I won't have my little cottage with a white picket fence around. I won't do these things." You're stupid jerks. Don't let anyone discourage you from your dream. Perhaps it's best not even to tell people about your dream. But take your dream as a precious gift in your hands. This young boy was 16 years old, and he played basketball with an exquisite precision because he was able to so completely concentrate on what he was doing, he made a basket every time. No matter how he was kept from making that basket, no matter how his opponents were pushing him around and checking him out and discouraging him from making his basket, he had one point. He could be flying in the air upside down and he made that basket because it was in his consciousness. He heard only what he wanted to hear. In an instant, can you tell me what he wanted to hear on the basketball court? Kerplunk. Kerplunk. The ball dropping in the basket. Kerplunk. Yes! And you see, he knew each moment his dream was being fulfilled there on the basketball court. He perfected it. He worked hours after everyone else went in to play, to have dinner and watch TV. He watched it out there. And on his writing, he would write and write, not as a tedium, not as a difficult, hard thing to do. There was no tediousness about it. He wrote from the joy of his heart. And he wrote beautifully. It's not that he was a mechanic at writing, that he was learning. But he was a magician at writing. He took the magic of his heart and put it down on paper, and it became a glorious symbol of a beautiful soul. He heard only what he wanted to hear. He wrote only what he wanted to write. And when people did hear what he wrote, through the proper media, through his mentor. Yes, the mentor could write so well. Yes, the mentor had a history of writing so well. Oh, what a wonderful mentor. And the mentor said, this was not my work. This was the work of this young man. Do you hear only what you want to hear? Do you hear it? The young man was being challenged, and he was being put to the test of what he was doing. And as he was being put to the test of what he was doing, what was happening? Did he copy the other man's article and turn it in as his own? No, he didn't. He took the title and he took a phrase or two from it, but it was his own article because he used it as a guideline on his learning process. And he had written it himself, but he had taken the title and a few guidelines from it as is his purpose in doing it. And because he was rushed, he turned it in. In 1,000 years, no one would have ever contested him, except the circumstances were that he had a second mentor. The mentor who was expecting his literary best. He was not a fool. The teacher was not a fool as much as he was hurt. He was a wise and a brilliant teacher, but he also had an anger in him that anyone should write more beautifully than their age would provide. And this 16-year-old boy, to write such magnificence, in his experience, had never happened. And he had to put him down for his own personal purpose. And the boy would not deny that he had written something. And he would not deny that he had gotten the idea from somewhere else. But he could not say that he had gotten the idea from somewhere else because that somewhere else wasn't supposed to exist. And you see, his principle was good, but it was difficult for him. And yet he stood up for it. He would have gone down in defeat rather than gone down telling a lie. And as his peers stood up from being called terrible and black and things that were not pleasant for them to hear, he too played that role for a moment until his mentor shook his chain. And as the mentor rattled his chain, he had to wake up. Am I going to be touched by something like this? Because surely when I go into the world, there are people who are going to make remarks. And he stood up for it. He heard, he learned to hear only what he wanted to hear. They had a little love story twisted in there. but they had a gentleness about it. And they had the integrity of the staff on the school board, but there was an integrity involved in it. And the one teacher didn't put the other teacher down, he just said, "Sit down, this is where I come in now." Life is not always going to be so obvious and stand up and give us a pat on the back. Life is not always going to say, go for your dream, go for your imagination. Life is going to trip us at every corner. It's going to make us feel insecure, incompetent, unhappy, unloved. But when we love ourselves, when we love ourselves so much that we can afford to listen to only what we want to hear, then we have stood the test. We have stood the test and we have arrived at the goal so positively and so dynamically and so beautifully that nothing can stop us. And nothing will stop us. Not because we're so strong, but nothing will stop us because we believe in ourselves. We listen to what we want to hear. We have learned that art. And when you've learned that art, all doorways open to you. All the magic of your life is there. You think of Merlin the magician and his ability to just wave his wand and do wonderful things. Each one of you are Merlin the magician. Each one of you have the wand of integrity, the wand of purity, the wand of goodness, the wand of magic, the wand of dreaming, the wand of listening to what you want to hear and following that every moment of your life. Each one of you have that. It's not a gift just some of you have, but each one of you. And if we will spend our time praising ourselves for the wonderful gift we have and using it, rather than complaining that it's not working out, we'll find that it works out. We'll find that it works out. Or right now, you can practice listening to what you want to hear. And you know who's going to be saying what you want to hear? You are. You're going to be saying what you want to hear. I tell everyone, you know, the only thing I know about you is what you tell me and what you shine forth out of your being. And if you tell me you're a wonderful person, I'm going to expect you to be a wonderful person. If you tell me you're intelligent and beautiful and fantastic, I'm going to expect that, and lo and behold, I'm going to experience that. But if you tell me any other story, that's all I know. I, of course, personally will not listen to that, because you're my creation, and I know the truth about you. But the world doesn't always say that. It says, you speak so loud by what you do that I cannot hear what you say. So, learn this art of listening. And when you do, you'll be the happiest being that ever existed. I practice the art of listening to what I want to hear. I practice the art of listening to what I want to hear. I practice the art of listening to what I want to hear, but I say it first. I love you.